Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As we read every year on this feast about the deliverance of St. Peter from prison, we are reminded of the power of God to save his people from spiritual dangers and temporal dangers. And even though, of course, St. Peter did die the martyr's death when it was time, and it was, of course, in the city of Rome after he had arrived there to establish that as the center of the Catholic Church, at this time, it was the will of God to deliver St. Peter from his danger. Notice the elaborate security procedures taken. 16 soldiers were set as a guard. Four guards of four soldiers each. Herod was not taking any chances. And he was intending to, of course, to martyr him. Even there were two soldiers that had to sleep there with St. Peter between them. Again, every precaution was taken. But how did this miracle come about? Well, obviously through the power of God. But please note this sentence. So Peter was being kept in the prison, but prayer was being made to God without ceasing. That's the key right there. Of course, God could have worked the miracle. He can do anything, but we have to remember many things, really everything, most things will happen anyway, only because prayer is made. This is one of my favorite parts of Holy Scripture, this 12th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And it stops with St. Peter being outside the gate. He thinks he's in a dream, so that's why it says he came to himself. He's probably pinching himself. Is this a dream or what? He came to himself. And he said, I know for certain the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me. So the angel made sure the soldiers kept sleeping, knocked the chains off of him, opened the locked and barred doors, and he's outside. And you would think that there would still be people up that would have noticed, but again, that was all part of the miracle. But I want to continue reading here, beginning with verse 12, because today's epistle ends with verse 11. And this is what happens after that. And I even see something that even kind of makes you smile. And I'll explain. So let's listen. This is right after he finds himself outside the gate. He's freed. He's released. And verse 12 begins. And considering he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was surnamed Mark, where many were gathered together and praying. It sounds like they had night and day prayer vigils going, doesn't it? I mean, obviously. And what's interesting, this is the mother of St. Mark the Evangelist. And Saint, as we know, the second gospel is by St. Mark. And it's always considered to be the gospel according to St. Peter, how St. Peter saw the events in the life of Jesus. It could be that for a long time, maybe his whole life, St. Peter was not a literate man, where he read and wrote, at least not eloquently. Remember, he was a fisherman. very few people had the chance for education. So we believe that St. Mark was the secretary of St. Peter, and he may have even done the actual writing for the two epistles of St. Peter. So this is where Peter goes. You know, I'm not going to stand out here, out in the street. I'm going to go to one of these homes of the faithful Christians. And they had been keeping up this continual vigil of prayer. There is the lesson for us, my dear brethren. The power of prayer, the importance of continual prayer. And God allows bad things to happen to help us to really increase the fervor and continuity of our prayers. As we know, we live in very difficult times. This is the time to be increasing our prayers. Verse 13, and when he knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, whose name was Rhoda. And as soon as she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for joy, but running in, she told that Peter stood before the gate. She didn't let him in. Maybe she was not sure of whether she was hearing it's Peter's voice. So she goes to the group of people that are praying there for Peter's safety. And scripture continues. This is where you just have to smile. But they said to her, thou art mad. You're crazy. Peter is in prison. We're here praying for his safety. Already I detect a note of doubt in their prayer. Oh, we're praying for Peter to be okay, but for him to be released, oh, it can't be that good. You're crazy, Rhoda. What makes you think that Peter is outside the door? But she affirmed that it was so. She kept insisting. Again, why didn't she let him in? Again, maybe she had some misgivings, but then she's sure enough to say, I know it's him. They still didn't believe. Verse 15 continues, they said, it's his angel. Why would God send St. Peter's angel to talk with his voice? Doesn't this illustrate something that we pray without confidence or with little or not enough confidence? This doesn't mean things will always turn out the way we want and hope and expect, but we have to remember that they will turn out because of our humble, persevering, unremitting prayer in the way that God knows best. And in this case, it was for the release of Peter from prison. Verse 16, but Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened, they saw him and were astonished. We knew the good things would happen if we prayed, but we never thought God would answer our prayers like this. But he, beckoning to them with his hand to hold their peace, told how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, tell these things to James and to the brethren. And going out, he went into another place. Now when day was come, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And needless to say, Herod had a really bad day. And I would wager to say his minions had a very bad day too for their failure. They were blamed for this. And maybe they sought refuge in just saying, there's no possible way it could have happened. This could have happened. So on this observance of the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul, let us be encouraged by the lessons of this 12th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Let us remember the power of the rosary. I've been reading a number of sources on how Austria was delivered from communism. There was no good reason why at least the central part of Austria, Vienna, should have been liberated from communist rule. Because remember, after World War II, the Allied powers divided, conquered German territory among them. For example, Berlin was divided between the British, the French, the U.S., and, of course, communist Russia. And then Russia erected the Berlin Wall. And, of course, they also held all of eastern Germany. So a large swath of Austria was held by communist Russia. And you read these historical accounts of this, how, you know, there was one priest who became the real spearhead of the effort for the Austrian people, I believe it was about 7 million at the time, to pray the rosary. And they had, to the extent they were able to, rosary processions in the street. And the point is that upwards of 10% committed to the daily rosary. Almost sounds like, I can't help but think of Abram pleading with God to spare Sodom and Gomorrah if he could find 10 good men. And he couldn't. But it's amazing what a committed minority can do. So in these times, as I said, we need to increase our devotedness to prayer, especially to the rosary, which has been heaven sent. It was given some 8 or 9 centuries ago by Our Lady. And at Fatima, just a little over a century ago, she said, pray the rosary for world peace. One of my hopes was to have more continual prayer here at Mount St. Michael. And we started during the severe part of the lockdown when we were not allowed to have any masses at all. We organized holy hours, you know, just signing up for at least one holy hour a week per family. That's very doable, very easy. And then we didn't continue with that because then it looked like we were trying to, you know, organize an effort where, you know, we could get into trouble for that. But under the circumstances today, I would like to go back to that, and we'll restart that again in a week or two. And again, we have to have that confidence in prayer. And as I said, even if things don't turn out the way we always hope and expect, we know that God's grace will help us accept whatever happens and deal with it. Let us remember how important St. Peter was as the first pope. When our Lord chose this man to be the rock, he chose somebody who was really not a rock in his daily life. He could burn hot and cold, as the saying goes. There was not that sense of strong stability. That came later by the grace of the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Holy Ghost. But it's just another proof of how God works, that he'll take not the most likely and strongest But the most unlikely candidates, after all, he founded his church on uneducated fishermen. They weren't all fishermen. St. Matthew was a tax collector, as we know, so they weren't all fishermen, but an unlikely group according to human understanding. But God's ways are not our ways. And when you look at the scriptural verses, I don't have that with me. I've shared it in classes before. I mean, there's at least 20 or 25 biblical quotes showing the primacy of St. Peter. And that wasn't meant just for St. Peter, but it's obviously passed on to his successor. How sad that throughout the centuries, there have been so many who rejected the entire principle of submission to the Roman pontiff, which Christ set up. He who hears you hears me. The true Roman pontiff has the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And it is, of course, for this very reason that we have to reject false claimants, Vatican II popes, who are doing the work of the devil, who are preaching anti-Christianity, anti-Catholicism. It's our very belief in the doctrine of papal primacy that tells us that only a man who has the Catholic faith can be a true pope. But it is a wonderful way that Christ set up his church. Pray that God gives us a Holy Father, a true one that will have the Catholic faith and lead us, if it be God's will. Again, pray with confidence. We may be astonished, but we should never put limits on what God can do and the power of intercession of our Holy Mother Mary. May Saints Peter, and of course I didn't have a chance to talk about St. Paul today, but may these apostles intercede for us and bless us, and of course they will always inspire us. In the name of the Father, and of His Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.